Paul has now arrived in Athens, one of the centers of the ancient world, which for centuries dominated the world, especially in terms of thought. Athens was the center for Western philosophy and the home of men like Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. But when Paul got to the city, he found it full of idols. They claimed to be wise and knowing much in the world, and yet they did not know God. And since he was waiting for Silas and Timothy anyway, he did what he always did. He went about telling others about Jesus, both Jew and Gentile alike. But Luke tells us that his preaching in Athens soon drew people's attention. We're told in verse 18, some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. Now, I'm not up here this evening to talk about Epicureans and Stoics in much detail. It's enough to say that they were philosophers who believed that they had discovered the meaning of life. Epicureans thinking that the good things in life consisted of being free of pain and seeking after simple pleasures, and the Stoics believing it to be in emotional self-control. That's what they believed the good life to be, and they considered themselves to be wise, even if they often fought with one another. But they were both confused by what Paul had come to say. Some of them call him a babbler. Of course, by babbling, we mean speaking without having any meaning, just making noise for the sake of noise. But the picture that they actually use in Greek is of a bird hopping along and eating seeds, so that the seeds are like the words and the ideas. Someone who is just gathering things together without really considering what these things mean, just putting it all together, even if they contradict one another. They think of him as a fool who just likes to hear himself talk. But that's only because they don't understand him, Christians. They don't understand the message that he has come to proclaim. And just to show how little they do understand him, others of them say that he's preaching Jesus and the resurrection, meaning that they think he's preaching two different gods, Jesus and resurrection. And maybe that's a little easier to understand if we know that the name Anastasia is actually from the Greek word for resurrection. So it's like they think that Paul is preaching Jesus and Anastasia. But that's only because they've never heard it before. They've never read the Bible. They've never heard anyone talking about God. And even if they heard a little from the Jews, it's not like that amounted to much. To them, hearing it all for the first time, it was all very strange indeed. And of course, ironically, we might find that very thing strange in our day and age, somebody who doesn't know anything about Jesus or the Bible, because we live in a place heavily influenced by Christianity. I mean, almost everybody that we know has been a Christian. And if we're a little older, we might even remember a time when almost everybody went to church. The idea that someone might have no idea about who Jesus is sounds very strange to us. Because when we talk about Jesus, people already know, right? They're going to understand what it is we're talking about. The main issue is that they've stopped going to church. Now, that might be true for some Christians. And honestly, it's probably more true for older people who have fallen away from the church. But in reality, in our day and age, we can no longer assume anything. Like the Athenians, there are more and more who have no clue at all, no familiarity with what we might even consider to be the most basic things. There's a lot of people, including Christians, unfortunately, who know less and less about the Bible. Not only knowing less and less about what it says, but not even being familiar with major figures from it. Ask them about who Noah or Abraham or Moses is, and you're just going to get a blank stare. And it's not just because people read less than they used to, but it's because they're more increasingly disconnected from the church, so that there are a growing number of children who have never been to church at all, even to the point of not coming for something like Christmas or Easter. They simply do not know. And even what little people do know these days is often corrupted by misunderstandings. Because the philosophers in Paul's day thought that he was preaching about multiple gods, because their misunderstandings, their assumptions, led them to wrong conclusions. And yet, even despite their misunderstandings, we're told they were still willing to listen to him. Luke says in verse 20, "For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now, to be fair, they might have only wanted to hear them because they wanted to be entertained. Luke tells us that they loved to hear new things. But, for whatever reason, they were willing to let him talk and to hear what he had to say. Now, unfortunately, Christians, in our time, misunderstandings often lead to the exact opposite. People think they know what we're saying, and they refuse to listen to anything we have to say. Like when people hear the word sin, for example, they assume that that means simply condemning others, so that because you're not supposed to condemn anyone because that's bad, saying something about sin must mean that Christians think they're better than everybody else. So there's no need to listen to anything that they have to say. They're just filled with hate, and that's bad. Or when they hear the word love, well, they think love means affirming others. So saying that God is love must mean you're supposed to simply accept everything and everyone as true, because that's what the world does. And if you go against that, if you condemn anything, well, that's just being contradictory. So you don't need to listen to what they have to say. Or people might even say, well, Christians are all a bunch of hypocrites. They're only concerned with forcing people, other people, to do things. They just want to be in control. And that becomes especially bad when you see scandal after scandal in the news, some pastor who did some terrible thing. So we don't need to listen to them because they don't even believe what they have to say. They shut their ears before we've even had a chance to say anything at all. Does that mean that it's all hopeless, though, Christians? That we should just give up? Well, of course not. God's word does not return empty. God still brings people to faith, and God can change the hearts of the unwilling. I mean, just look at Paul himself. Rather, what this means is that we cannot assume anything. We cannot assume that people are going to know what we mean when we say something. Even simple things like sin and repentance and faith and forgiveness. We really do have to take the time to speak clearly about these things so that people can understand. And we can't also assume that everyone we meet is just a delinquent Christian who needs to go back to church. More and more, people have never been to church at all. We have to consider them as new to everything. In a nutshell, Christians, we have to meet people where they are. Not where we think they are, but where they actually are. Even if that means something as basic as talking about if there is a God. Because when we meet people where they are in that way, they will be able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in all of its fullness and its sweetness. Now, what exactly does that look like? Well, we'll consider that next time when we study Paul's sermon that he preached to the Athenians on that day. But for the time being, we can take comfort, knowing that God can overcome all misunderstandings, and that he can draw people out of even the deepest ignorance. The gospel does not depend on how much we know or how familiar we are with these things, as if the only ones who could ever be saved are those who once went to church. Rather, we can take comfort knowing that God works through his living word to change hearts still today. And when we speak clearly, not assuming anything, God will bless our words through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that they will never return empty, to the glory of his holy name. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, open our mouths to speak your word clearly, so that others may come to know you and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.